The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition. Featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. A second hour for many of you this weekend. And we invite your phone calls, 888-302-3684. Although I'm a little skeptical because we are blacked out on our flagship station, WOR, in New York, due to Rutgers football. And, you know, fortunately, the Mets haven't eclipsed us because all the Mets games are night games, and WR does carry Mets, but that hasn't posed too much of a problem for us. It's Rutgers football and maybe a couple of basketball games later in the season. But we do invite your phone calls if you're listening via live stream, which is an option. Many of you unaware of it because, you kind of rely on your radio. You turn it on and off like a faucet. It's easy. It's old school, but a new way of listening to your favorite programs is even if there is something preempting the show that you like, you just go to drhoffman.com and click on the listen button, and there's a link there where you can listen live to the program. You can hear it in its entirety, the full 2 hours. Although another way of listening is on Monday morning, we post the entire 2 hours to drhoffman.com, and you can also listen at your leisure. Yeah, I know some of you busy on weekends and, you know, you can't make a radio appointment at that specific time when we broadcast the program, but there are many ways to access our content. And there's lots more content than just this radio program. We've got podcasts galore at drhoffman.com. 1.3 million downloads and counting, over 100,000 individual downloads per month. So I know that lots of you are out there listening. All right, some of the big stories this hour. We're going to talk a little bit about strontium. Some people have raised concerns about the safety of strontium, and I'm going to address them this hour. 888-302-3684 if you want to get in on the conversation. All right, big study just in. It is a meta-analysis. A meta-analysis means it is a compendium of studies, because, you know, when you're addressing a big issue like what's the best diet for losing weight, you know, and you go to the literature and it's confusing because one study says this, another study says that, and, you know, so what they try to do is come up with they average out the studies. They say, well, okay, let's take a bunch of studies and we'll summarize the conclusions of the studies and we'll actually assign points to the study. If it's a really good study, we'll give it more points than if it's a study that maybe isn't such a great study. And then we'll weight them using a mathematical formula, and that's what's called a meta-analysis. Well, this is an analysis of 53 studies comprising 67,000 dieters. And what did they find? I've been saying. Cutting carbohydrates is far more effective than a low-fat diet in shedding the pounds, a major Harvard study has just found. So one of the lead authors of the study, Dr. Deirdre Tobias, says, quote, despite the pervasive dogma that one needs to cut fat from their diet in order to lose weight, the existing scientific evidence does not support low-fat diets over other dietary interventions for long-term weight loss. The major research was published in The Lancet, and it backs a low-carb approach as a more effective diet. The study performed by Brigham and Women's Hospital and the Harvard School of Public Health looked at all previous studies from clinical trials that compared the effect of low-fat diet versus other approaches, and the verdict is in: low-fat diets work best for getting the weight off. Now, That is something, you know, when faced with this fact, I can see vegetarians, I can see Dean Ornish, for example, saying, well, okay, fine, you lose weight. Okay, I'll admit you lose weight, but it's going to kill you. You'll be a thin corpse because all that fat is going to clog your arteries, give you a heart attack, give you a stroke, cause cancer. The excess protein will be bad for your kidneys, and so on and so on and so on. But that actually is not the case, according to lots of studies, notwithstanding the World Health Organization making a big splash last week by decreeing that processed meats and even red meat should join the list of carcinogens like arsenic and smoking as major causes of the scourge of the worldwide cancer epidemic. And that there has been, I can't remember when there's been as much blowback against a study. And I go to Facebook, please like me on Facebook, and you will see study after study after study, or rebuttal after rebuttal after rebuttal, that pushes back against the WHO recommendations. And we also did an excellent podcast with Nina Teicholz, author of The Big Fat Surprise, which demolishes the WHO's contention that saturated fats and animal protein are what are causing the epidemic of degenerative diseases in this country. Not so, not so. And look, I mean, let's face the facts. We've been following a low-fat paradigm for now decades. And what's happened to the health of Americans? Has it made a big difference? Has it helped us stem the tide of obesity and diabetes? No, au contraire. We've seen the statistics only get worse as food manufacturers offer us low-fat fare, low-fat dairy, skim milk, low-fat cookies, and on it goes. Not something that's been in the interest of advancing public health in America. And now World Health Organization, responsible for the health of the international community, wants to emulate the U.S. government in making a low meat diet recommendation. You know, I think they're heading in the wrong direction from a scientific standpoint. 888-302-3684. All right. When it comes to certain foods, do you have a trigger food? Do you have a food that just sets you off? And I got to say, one of the most commonly reported trigger foods is pizza. It's a perfect, crispy, delectable combination of gooey melted cheese and toasted bread. There's just nothing like it. And in fact, to this day, and I haven't had pizza, I can't tell you when, you know, maybe 20 years or more, I haven't had pizza. There's not a day that goes by. You know, I walk to work here in New York, and there are pizza places galore. And the aroma of pizza wafting out of these pizza places is so alluring. It goes right to a certain part of my brain, and but I don't succumb because I just know it's not to avoid cardiovascular disease or to lengthen my life. It's just that when I eat pizza, I just feel horrible. I just feel horrible. I have real problems with my with nasal congestion, with feeling bloated, tired, exhausted, and foggy. So, new study, which is published in the U.S. National Library of Medicine, examines why certain foods are more addictive than others. Researchers identified addictive foods from about 500 people who completed the Yale Food Addiction Scale. This is actually a questionnaire. You can Google this, the Yale Food Addiction Scale. You can take the test yourself, and you can find out if you have a food addiction. And guess which food came out on top of the most addictive food list? Of course, it's pizza. Pizza tops the list. You might say chocolate or bacon. Okay, those are probably up there. But pizza's right at the top of the list. The study found certain foods are addictive because of the way that they're processed. the more processed and fatty the food, the more it was associated with addictive eating behaviors. So this, unfortunately, is precisely in the opposite direction of health, is we tend to crave the most the very foods that are highly processed. And that's a big problem, because it'd be one thing if something that topped the list was broccoli or avocados. No, it's not the way it works. Cheese happens to be especially addictive because of its unique property. It contains casein, and during digestion, casein releases what are called casomorphines. Now, if that sounds a little like morphine, yeah, it's an opiate. It's something that triggers a response in our opiate receptors. We have actually receptors in our brain, in our gastrointestinal tract, for opiates. And they have profound effects. In our gastrointestinal tract, opiates slow down digestion. That's one of the reasons why if you have a kid who's constipated and they're guzzling down milk and eating a lot of cheese, take them off the dairy products, and often the constipation will resolve because of the opiate receptors. You know, it's known that people who take opiate medications for pain have terrible constipation. Well, the cheese, in addition to not containing any fiber, triggers an opiate response in the gastrointestinal tract and in the brain, makes it highly addictive, but also potentially very constipating. Casomorphines play with the dopamine receptors and trigger the addictive element in food craving. So you really might, what it boils down to is that cheese is like culinary crack. That's why you just have to have more and more and more. You're hooked literally on it. Cheese addiction has been validated by science, and it just might even be worse than your addiction to Oreos, which is real because, hey, Oreos, highly processed, full of delectable cream, chocolate flavoring, and additives, which go directly to a certain part of your brain, turn on your brain, and get you hooked. Now, we talk about this in a video, which is now available at drhoffman.com, Taming Your Food Addictions. That is the subject of a very informative video, which you can download from our website. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684, if you care to call. If not, we got plenty to talk about on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. And we do have people out there listening and calling. We got Michael from Queens, New York. How are you doing, Michael? You listening to us on the stream?
I am. Yes, I am.
Great. Good for you. You are a tech-savvy guy, and you're getting with the program. Yeah. And for that, I'm going to give you a free gift, a subscription to our Hoffman Center newsletter, which, by the way, is not such a big deal because it's free to everyone anyway. If you go to drhoffman.com, you can click on the subscribe page and give us your email, and we will send you the newsletter in your inbox every week. Have you already subscribed?
No, this is my first time listening on the web. Actually, I listened to you, of course, on WOR.
Right.
But it works just fine. I have a new Bluetooth speaker that I bought, and it's
awesome.
Perfect.
Hey, forget old-fashioned radio. It's like discretionary listening is where it's at these days. You have any program you want across the country, you can listen on your computer or on your smartphone.
Yeah, that's it. That's the truth.
So what's your question?
Well, I have been taking Bacopa, about one capsule a day for a couple of years. I heard it on one of the programs somewhere along the line that Bacopa was good for mental concentration and memory.
Well, it's obviously working for you because you're so tech savvy and adroit, and you're able to dial in this program. So it's obviously working. So what's the question about Bacopa?
Well, so today I don't know. I noticed that there was a clear plastic wrap around the bottle, and then I have bought this same bottle a couple of years. I never saw this, and I read a warning, and it says this product contains lead, a chemical known to the state of California to cause birth defects, et cetera.
Let me tell you what's going on with that. First of all, California has established through something called Proposition 65 that the voters of California were hoodwinked into voting for a standard, which is an unrealistic standard for measuring toxins in virtually everything. And so every product in California carries this very crazy warning. One of the things that supplement manufacturers have done is some of them distribute to 49 states. They don't sell in California because of this mandatory labeling. It is true that Bacopa is a bit of a bioaccumulator. It hyper-accumulates certain heavy metals from the soil. And as a result, it's not that there's lead added or that they put it through, you know, faulty machinery. There may be a tiny bit of measurable lead, cadmium and heavy metals in the herb that may be detectable by California standards. So in order not to get sued under Prop 65, they've got to make that disclosure. I don't think it's a very high amount, but hey, you know, herbs sometimes carry the potential for heavy metal content. And if you're concerned about that, get your levels checked. Make sure you haven't overaccumulated that. You can do that via a holistic doctor. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This traffic report from the bloodstream brought to you by Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Well, that inbound blood flow is really slowing down now due to plaque from cholesterol, but help's on the way from Kyolic. More than 750 peer-reviewed research studies indicate that Kyolic not only keeps circulation moving smoothly, it also helps improve a number of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is made from 100% organically grown garlic, is completely odorless, and won't upset your stomach. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Look for Kyolic at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Help keep your system stay humming along with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract today.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. You know, the surest way to get phone calls is to say, well, I don't care a darn if you call or not. And then you just get a whole flurry of phone calls. People say, oh, well, you don't care? Well, I'm going to call you. People being contrarians. All right, let's talk to Cindy in Ithaca, New York. Hey, I don't mind talking to you. It's my pleasure.
Well, great. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I've got a question about cholesterol. A few years ago, I saw a nutritionist who commented to me that other than herself, she'd never seen anybody who had the good cholesterol over 100.
Oh, no. Yeah, she just doesn't have enough experience.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, that it is unusual, but I've got, you know, I wish I had a buck for every patient I have who has cholesterol over 100. And I think one of the records is held by a family member of mine who has an HDL cholesterol of 136. That's just phenomenal, phenomenally good.
So what I'm wondering is, how does that relate to your total cholesterol? Recently, I saw this new doc, and when he was looking at my test results, he goes, oh, your total cholesterol is 220. You've got high cholesterol. And he puts that down on the record. I have high cholesterol.
Yeah,
and I said, yes, but what about the fact that my good cholesterol is this high and the bad cholesterol is in a range where it should be?
So you know, what's interesting is you know, it takes such intelligence and sophistication to you know, go through all those years of education, pass those tests, you know, take the MCATs, get all those A's and get into medical school. And yet once doctors, you know, become physicians, they abandon the subtlety of thinking that enabled them to get those good grades and get into medical school. You, however, have that because you say, okay, well, it's not just about the, you know, the overall number. There are mitigating factors to high cholesterol, such as HDL. And look, the one thing that we've discovered is that high HDL is not 100% protection against cardiovascular disease. It's very good to have a high HDL, and HDL over 100 is virtually an insurance policy against having cardiac problems. But it's not impossible to have, for various reasons, other factors enter in, to have the beginnings of plaque or blockage, even if you have a high HDL. That's a lesson that we've learned recently. You know, first we ignored HDL, then we accorded it over-importance, like, okay, this, you're gold-plated, no way you're going to get cardiovascular disease. No, you can. But, you know, the tiebreaker on that is to do a test that I frequently do, which is an EBT heart scan, which actually detects whether you have the beginnings of plaque in your coronary arteries. And, you know, I've been talking about this test for maybe 15 years, and only now it's coming out in major medical articles that say, hey, this is a really good way to discern whether people are at risk or not. You know, you can't tell from the cholesterol. Sometimes you can't be sure because of high HDL. You can look at C-reactive protein and homocysteine. You can take the plaques test. You can slice and dice the LDL and look at oxidized LDL and look at particle size. But still, where the rubber meets the road is in your arterial wall. And if your arterial wall shows the beginnings of calcification, then, yeah, you know, you're at greater risk. Look, all this is a prelude to suggesting that you go on a statin anyway, because that's, I mean, what are you going to do otherwise? Is that what the doctor pushed for?
Not right now, but he just wrote down on the record, you know, you've got high, whatever the term is, hyper something or other.
Hyperlipidemia. Mm-hmm.
That's it. And he goes, because the number is 220, and so therefore, that's what you have, but he didn't suggest anything else.
I call this paint-by-numbers medicine. Remember, I don't know, you might be old enough to remember that as a kid, you know, we got these little kits, you know, with they were numbered, and it would be like a picture of the Mona Lisa or, you know, Van Gogh's Starry Night or something like that. And if you just use the color coding and you put in, you know, you match the color to the number, you could paint a masterpiece. Well, you can't. You know, it turned out you know, looking like a Day-Glo pizza. But still, doctors apply this paint-by-numbers approach, and it doesn't really work out. Pretty soon, the computers are going to dictate who gets medications. You know, you're going to dial in numbers, and they're going to spit out a diagnosis and spit out a medication recommendation, and that's just not good medicine. So I think you're probably okay. Bottom line, I think you're probably okay. You want to be sure, get an EBT heart scan, see if you have coronary calcium. You probably don't.
Okay.
All right.
Good enough. Thanks for your answer.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right. Here's something that I want to address this because some of our listeners, astute listeners, have been emailing me and writing me. And a few have called me and a few patients have asked me about this. Strontium. Strontium is something that I've been recommending for osteoporosis, and it really works great for enhancing bone density, but not just enhancing bone density. I mean, the knock on strontium, sometimes if you go to a doctor and you show them impressive results, after taking strontium in your bone density. I said, well, that doesn't matter because strontium will just simply make your bones look stronger. They're not stronger. Well, actually, studies in Europe where strontium has been used for a long time show that strontium not only enhances the appearance of bone on a bone density, which is gratifying, but they actually do something even more significant. They dramatically reduce the risk of hip and spinal fractures. And that's really what our concern is. We don't just want to make the picture look better, you know, just like you lower cholesterol, but say you're still going to get a heart attack or stroke. That's no good. So that's one knock on strontium that I want to push back on. But recently, there have been reports of toxicity of strontium. So let me address this. And this is a couple of my listeners have sent me this. This is a bulletin from Canada. Where Health Canada, the Canadian equivalent of the FDA, has issued a health warning about strontium. All right, so, wait a minute. What's that about? It is in relationship to findings of increased risk of cardiovascular events seen, now listen carefully, seen in people with known risk factors or history of cardiovascular disease, who took a prescription form of strontium, that's strontium ranelate, not available in the United States. It's available in Europe and possibly in Canada, at a dose of 680 milligrams per day. Now, that dose of 680 milligrams per day is precisely the dose that we give to patients in the U.S. for osteoporosis. And so the concern is, are we putting patients at risk by giving them strontium? If they have a history of cardiovascular disease, or, you know, they're at high risk. So let's push back on this concern. The report also says there are no reports of cardiovascular risk at lower doses of strontium ranelate. Okay, we're still not talking about strontium ranelate because it's not available in this country. Or at any dose for forms of strontium, including strontium citrate, strontium gluconate, or strontium lactate, which are typically sold in supplements. I will repeat, there are no reports of cardiovascular risk at lower doses of strontium ranelate or at any dose for forms of strontium, including strontium citrate, which is what we prescribe, strontium gluconate or strontium lactate, less commonly prescribed, which are typically sold in supplements. Okay? Bottom line. And I have not seen this as a problem. And so you're going to see a little bit of controversy swirl around strontium supplements. But so far, no research suggests that it's putting people in the hospital with cardiovascular complications. It's the medication used in Europe, which has been associated with a few incidents of heightened cardiovascular risk in patients who already have pre-existing heart disease, not in the general populace, but a precaution might be undertaken for someone taking this medication, the prescription form of strontium, if you have cardiovascular disease. Again, no reports of any kind of cardiovascular problem for people taking strontium citrate, gluconate, or lactate at any dose whatsoever. Now, you know, we keep our eye out for potential problems, and this needs to be looked at further. But strontium, to my mind, continues to be safe and useful for osteoporosis. And lately, joining our arsenal of supplements helpful for osteoporosis is something called ostenol, which you'll be hearing more and more about. It's bone morphogenic protein. And for those unwilling or unable to take strontium, you know, perhaps, you know, you read this and you said, I'm turned off to strontium. I don't want to take it. Okay, fine. There's a workaround. You can take ostenol, and I think patients taking ostenol will see comparable good results in terms of enhancing their bone density and reducing their risk of fracture. All right. We got more callers. 888-302-3684 is our number. And, oh, by the way, if you think, oh, maybe it's a little too late in the show, you don't think you're going to get in, you can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we'll use your question as fodder for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we discuss listener questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the place to send your questions. And then listen to our weekly Q&A with Layla, where we're likely to give you a lengthy dissertation answering your question. All those podcasts, you can find them at drhoffman.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity, and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, and our next caller is from Arcata, California. Is it Arcata or Arcata?
Arcata.
Arcata. Hey, you know something? I'm from Southern California, so we have a place called Arcadia.
Right.
But that's in SoCal, and you're in NoCal. Okay, Barbara, go ahead.
So I was wondering whether natural kinase would be as good as a baby aspirin for helping prevent strokes.
It's different. It's actually different. Let's see if we can explain this in a simple way. Aspirin is a platelet inhibitor, so it prevents platelets from clumping together. And natokinase also works on platelets, but it's what's called a fibrinolytic, which means it breaks up clots. Okay, so it's kind of like aspirin would prevent the platelets from sticking together. Natokinase, once they're sticking together, it prevents the cascade that causes them to aggregate more. So actually they can be complementary. Some concern has been raised about, you know, what if you take aspirin and natokinase? Are you going to bleed out? Are you going to start having bleeding gums? Are you going to, when you bruise yourself, is it going to be leave terrible black and blues? Usually that does not happen. And why are you taking this? What's precisely the reason that you're thinking about taking aspirin?
Well, it was just for stroke prevention.
But why do you think you're at particularly high risk for stroke? Just
because
generally?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Because I had migraines?
Migraines. Yeah, migraines are a slight risk factor for strokes. Generally don't constitute a strong risk. You know, you don't have hypertension, you've not had previous strokes, you don't have super high cholesterol or diabetes, correct?
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, look, you could take an aspirin a day. The problem with this whole notion of, you know, taking an aspirin a day for prevention is that if you're low risk anyway for having a stroke or a heart attack, then you're more likely to create gastrointestinal bleeding, which is not uncommon even with this low-dose aspirin. And then you have to deal with gastritis or an ulcer due to the aspirin. And so it's actually now being recommended that not everyone over 40 or 50 or 60 take an aspirin a day, that we be selective about assigning aspirin to people who are at high risk. And I'll probably have to sit down with you, ask you some more questions and decide, you know, are you at high risk? One new factor about aspirin that's kind of encouraging is that it appears to have an anti-cancer effect against many types of cancer. And so there may be, you know, greater rationale for taking aspirin than just cardiovascular protection. But natokinase is not a complete substitute for aspirin. It's part of the, you know, the things you do if you think you're at risk for blood clots. If you had, say, a lot of what are called DVTs, deep vein thrombosis, you might take natokinase. If you have or a history of a pulmonary embolism, if you, you know, and you would combine that with, you know, something like fish oil. Fish oil, too, has an anti, you know, blood clotting effect. But it also, it appears that it's compatible with most blood thinners, including things like Coumadin. So, but have to know a little bit more about you, about, you know, whether this is worthwhile for you to undertake. I think, you know, you're trying to set up protection and you're trying to do natural things. But sometimes people envision their risk is coming from a place where it's not coming from. And they take supplements unnecessarily. You know, that's part of what I do. I mean, I think people come to me a lot and they say, look, I'm, you know, healthy, but I'm concerned. You know, what am I at risk for? What should I be looking out for? I mean, I can't take every supplement on the shelf. Everything sounds good. You know, where shall I invest my money and where shall I invest my time and effort? And there's only a finite number of things you can swallow. And so we try to pinpoint where people are at risk and what they need to do preventively. And hopefully we can make some good prognostications about the best supplements for them. Well, thanks for listening out there in Arcata, California. We have a nice affiliate out there in NoCal. Let's talk to Tom. Tom's in Westchester, New York. How you doing, Tom?
Good. How are you, Doc? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Been a regular listener for 25 years. Appreciate all the help over the years.
Excellent. Yes.
What's happening is when I stand up, after being in a laying down position for the first 30 seconds or so, it isn't quite that the room is spinning, but I feel very unsteady, have to grab on, hold on to something until I get collected again. And it seems to be getting a little worse. It's happening more and more while I'm laying down also.
Okay. So you have positional vertigo. That'll be $300, please. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. But, you know, obviously it's positional vertigo. It's not vertigo no matter what you do. And there's a variety of reasons for this. The adaptation to position change decreases as you get older. It's, you know, they're what are called baroreceptors or pressure receptors in your blood vessels. And they, you know, like other parts of your body, become less responsive and less supple. And sometimes you don't have as good a response to position change. Sometimes it's due to taking blood pressure medication or other medications. Are you on anything else?
No.
Okay. So it could be an age-related thing. It could also be something where there's a deterioration in the inner ear. Do you have high or low blood pressure? Have you been known to have low blood pressure?
Between the two, I don't have, it's not that I've been diagnosed with low blood pressure, but my blood pressure is on the low side.
Okay,
it has always been.
Okay, fine. So you may have, there's actually a term for this type of dizziness. It's called POTS, positional orthostatic, you know, changes that occur when you get up. And the heart rate will change, people will feel weak and woozy. And so the treatment for that is actually hydration, taking in more water, but not just water, taking in more sodium. And some patients benefit from taking in a little bit of licorice. I'm not entirely sure I should prescribe that for you, but licorice is something that can raise blood pressure. You have to be a little careful about licorice, though, because while it raises blood pressure, it might raise it too high, cause you to retain too much water, cause you to retain sodium, and cause you to lose potassium, which is potentially dangerous. So, you know, licorice should be administered, I think, under supervision. But you can, you know, take in a little more sodium and hydrate yourself well. And, you know, also there's something, you know, to be said for exercises that accustom you to position change, you know, a type of physical therapy where you go through the motions of position change and ultimately you acclimate to it and do better with it. Okay. I'll share with you an article, which we've been talking a lot about this in the past. It is about nanoparticles. These are tiny particles in what we eat. And nanoparticles include things like titanium dioxide, which is often used to give food a white color. Researchers are raising questions about the safety of these ultra-tiny particles. They can get into the digestive tract. They can irritate the digestive tract in patients with colitis. We've seen it. We tell patients with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease to avoid them. Nanoparticles. Got to watch out for nanoparticles because they may have unexpected health consequences. They're in a lot of processed food, so look out for ingredients like titanium dioxide in your foods. And unfortunately, in some supplements. I hate it when they add titanium dioxide to supplements to make them look white. All right. Thanks very much for joining us. And remember that this broadcast is but the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. You can find lots more at drhoffman.com, podcasts and writings. And enjoy your weekend. Happy Halloween. Go Mets!